from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 24 to 27. Going to come to those verses in a moment. I'd like to start off this morning's talk by, on the topic of big questions. Ah, so many people have big questions, don't they? The big questions of life. Where do we come from? Where are we going? What happens next? What's the meaning of life? What's my purpose in life? They're big questions. Maybe you've asked yourself some big questions. Sometimes people, they just go through life and they working, go on a holiday, and they don't think about the big questions. And then one day, for some reason or other, something changes and they begin to think about the big questions of life. Where did I come from? What's happening? What happens next? Is there life after death? Some of the big questions of life. Maybe you've asked yourself some of those big questions. Maybe you're still looking for some answers. Maybe you found a couple of answers. But even for believers in Jesus, sometimes we have big questions in regards to God. And I'm not attempting to answer all of your questions this morning, but sometimes as a believer we have questions like, does God still do some of the big stuff? Like, does he still heal people? Because when you read the Bible, Jesus, he healed quite a few people. And he rose some people from the dead. Does God still raise people from the dead? They're big questions. And if you've ever read the book of Acts, it talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you may wonder to yourself, does God still pour out his Spirit? They're big questions. Big questions. And it's easy to look to the past. You know, if you look to the past, we may identify some of the big things that God has done in the past. You know, there's been revival in different times. I think there was a revival in a place called Pensacola some years ago. And there was a revival in Wales as well many years ago. Some people, they look to the past and they see that God did some big stuff. And they say, oh, I want God to do some of that big stuff today. And then others, they look to the future and they're looking to what God will do. They're saying, God is going to do this. They have faith to believe that God is going to do something big in the future. So some people look to the past and some people are looking to the future for some of the big things of God. And then there's today. Then there is you and me. People of today. And you may say to yourself, God, I want you to do something big today. Yes, I know that you've done some big stuff in the past and I know that you might do some big stuff in the future, but today, I really need you to do something big in my life. And I think that God does big things in people's lives. He may have done something big in your life in the past, and you may have some prayers within your heart and you're asking for something big for tomorrow. But I am a firm believer that God still does some big stuff today. And I'd like to share some thoughts on some of those things. Are you willing to listen to me this morning? Are you with me? Do you want to go on a journey with me this morning? Okay, I got some scriptures that I want to read to you this morning. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 27. And it says this, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." You may have read those words before. what I did this morning for this little PowerPoint slide is that I highlighted four things that God does. And the first one is, I will gather you. The second one is, I will cleanse you. The third one is, I will give you a new heart. And the fourth one is, I will put my spirit in you. And I think that's something that God has done in the past. He's done this stuff. He has gathered his people. And not only has he gathered them, but he has cleansed them. And then he's given them a new heart. And then he's put his spirit. And this is a work of God that God has done in the past. But he also does it today. And he'll do it tomorrow as well. Because this is an ongoing, continual work of God that he does in the life of his people. So the first one is, I will gather you. God gathers us. He gathers his people to himself. He takes them from different places. And the first thing that he does is he woos them. He draws them to himself. And he's probably done that in your life. At some point in your life, God has met with you in a real and a personal way. And that work was, he was drawing you to himself. This is what God does. If you look at the life of Jesus and examine the life of Jesus, you'll see this in the life of Jesus, that he knew how to gather a crowd, but what he did was he went to certain people and he drew them to himself. They were called disciples and apostles and people like that. Do you remember Peter? Does anybody remember Peter? The first time Jesus met Peter. Peter was a fisherman and he'd been out all night. This is recorded in Luke chapter 5. Peter had been out fishing all night and he didn't catch any fish. And then Jesus met him for the first time. And he had empty nets. That's not good if you're a fisherman. Empty nets. You know what empty nets means, don't you? Some of you have heard me say these things before. Empty nets means empty pockets. You know that, don't you? Because if you have empty nets, it means you've no fish. And if you've got no fish, you can't sell any fish to make some money. So if you've got empty nets, you've got empty pockets, got no money in your pocket. But if you have empty pockets, you've also got empty cupboards because you've no money to buy food. So when you go to the cupboard and you look in the cupboard and there's no Rice Krispies and there's no Corn Flakes. I don't know if there was Rice Krispies and Corn Flakes back in biblical days, but just put your mind in the mind of Peter. He goes to the cupboard and there's nothing in the cupboard because he has no money, because he has no fish. Empty nets means empty pockets. Empty pockets means empty cupboards. Empty cupboards means an empty tummy because he has no food. He's hungry. He has nothing in his tummy. And now he's thinking, I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry. Ah, this man was empty when Jesus met him for the first time. And that's a little bit like you and me. When Jesus meets us for the first time, we're a little bit like Peter. We're empty. We're empty on the inside. There's an emptiness that's there. But we're hungry. But we don't know what we're hungry for. But Jesus comes to our lives and he meets with us in a private way, in a personal way. And he's the one that can fill that emptiness. And so he fills it with himself. He gathers us to himself. Ah, do you remember that other fellow called Matthew? Do you remember him? He was another apostle. Does anybody remember what his previous job was? He was a tax collector. He had money on the mind. He had money on his mind. He's thinking about money all the time. And then Jesus met him and gathered him to himself. And he says, follow me. Come on, follow me. And so now Matthew's not thinking about money. Matthew's thinking about other things. He's thinking about keeping his eyes on Jesus and following Jesus and looking at Jesus. And so this is the work of God. God gathers us to himself when we're empty and when we have the cares of the world on our minds. And so that once he has gathered us to himself and then we're in his presence, we are where he wants us to be. That's the work of God. And he does this in the past and he'll do it today and he'll do it tomorrow, is that he will seek you and he will find you and he will bring you to himself. There's a little story in the Gospels about one little sheep. And Jesus went looking for this little sheep. He left the 99 and Jesus goes looking. He finds the sheep and he carries the sheep. And that's a picture of your life and mine, is that God seeks us, he finds us, and he gathers us to himself. And that's the first part of the work of God. The second part of the work of God is he says, I will cleanse you. We have many different needs in this life. You know, some people may have needs of accommodation, or they need a job, or they need something else. They need a purpose in life. We have lots of different needs. Did you know that you have a need to be cleansed, to be clean? And there is a cleansing and a cleaning. And I'm not talking about having a bath and having a shower. I'm not talking about that. Just, you could go home now and put some Radox on and have a shower and be nice and clean, and you all look very beautiful and clean this morning. But what I'm talking about is a different type of cleansing. A cleansing and a cleaning that only God can do within the heart and within the soul and within yourself. God can clean you. And we have a need to be cleansed. And it's only something he can do. Many of you already know that I work in the area of substance misuse, working with people in addiction, people who are in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. And part of my work is to speak the language of recovery. And what I mean by that is, and you'll know this, is that if I was to speak to somebody who had been in addiction, maybe with alcohol or drugs or something like that, and they're now in recovery, I'll say to them something like this: how long are you clean? And they'll understand what I'm talking about. And when I say to them, how long are you clean? What I'm saying to them is, how long is it since you haven't engaged in the thing that you're trying to stay away from, whether it be alcohol or drugs? Or how long are you clean? That is, how long are you not engaging in those activities? We talk about clean time. I've been clean 5 years. I've been clean 2 months. I've been clean. And this is the language of recovery. And if you were to ask anybody that has been an addict or that's in recovery, how long are you clean? Or is it hard to get clean? They'll tell you. They'll tell you it's hard to get clean. And once you're clean, it's hard to stay clean. And the battle is to stay clean. It's a battle. It's a battle to stay clean for people who are in recovery. Because we talk about things like risky places, risky people, and risky things. And so in the language and in the work of recovery, I say, are you staying away from the risky people? Because if you're still engaging with the risky people, you're on dodgy ground. You might find yourself being drawn back into the very life that you're trying to get away from. And the person who is in recovery will tell you and tell me, it's a battle to stay clean. Do you know something, friends? It's not only those who are in recovery that know the battle to stay clean. It's also the people of God. Did you know that? That it is, in this day and age, there is a real battle in the lives of God's people, and that is the battle to stay clean. And what I'm talking about is not the engaging in drugs or alcohol, although that might be your thing. What I'm talking about is maintaining holiness, maintaining a cleanliness, a purity before your God, that you walk with him in the light of his presence and you don't engage in the things that he disapproves of. It is a real battle for the people of God to stay clean, isn't it? Have you ever experienced that? That as you live life, you're saying, I want to stay clean. I want to stay holy. I want to stay pure in the sight of my God as I live in a relationship with him. It's a battle for men, especially during summertime, because all the lovely ladies, they're wearing their nice tops and things like that. You know what I'm on about here, men, don't you? It's a battle to stay clean, because once you begin to look with your eyes, and then your eyes lead to your mind, and whoa, let's not go there. But you know what I'm on about, don't you, men? It's a battle to stay clean as you look. And it's also a battle for women, because during summertime, men are wearing their tank tops and they're showing all their muscles. They think they're David Hasselhoff or somebody like that. But you know what I'm on about, don't you? There is a real battle to stay clean. I don't know, has this ever happened to you? You've been at home and you've been on your tablet. I mean like Facebook or Snapchat or social media. And you're sitting there with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and you're flicking and you're flicking and you're enjoying life. And then all of a sudden appears and you think, whoa, I didn't want to see that. Has that ever happened to you? It happens. We live in a world where things just appear in front of us and we're thinking, whoa, I don't want to look at that. I'm trying to stay clean here. I'm trying to stay holy. I'm trying to stay pure. It happens. Happens on Facebook, happens on Snapchat, happens online, is that you can be engaging in social media and then all of a sudden appears and you don't want to look at it because you know that you're trying to stay clean. You're trying to stay holy. You're trying to stay right before your God. Ah, and TV is the same. You ever watch something on TV and you're sitting down, you're having the popcorn and you're enjoying yourself and then someone comes on the screen, you think, no, I don't want to watch that. Whoa, pause it, fast forward, do something. Whoa, I don't want to see that. It happens. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to stay clean here. I'm trying to stay clean. Ah, Love Island. Oh, don't even say the word. Love Island. If somebody asked me to watch Love Island, I'm like, I'm trying to stay clean here, man. You're making life difficult for me. Whoa. It's a battle to stay clean. As you live in relationship with God, and you want to walk with Him, you want to please Him, you want to look towards Him, but as we live in this world, sometimes this world is a dirty world, it's a mucky world, and our battle is to stay clean. And it's not only for people in recovery, it's for the people of God to stay clean. And the psalmist, he asked such a question. Do you remember that verse in Psalm 119 that says these words? How can a young person stay pure? How can a young person stay clean? By obeying your word. And I think that's the answer. I think that as we read the word of God, that as it reminds us about staying clean, staying holy, staying in that zone of walking with a God that loves us and a God whom we love. But it also reminds us that it is possible to be polluted. It is possible to live a life where you see with your eyes and you're looking at things you don't want to look at because you think, oh, that doesn't please God. It's a real battle to stay clean. But you know something that I love? I love the promise of that word, is that even when we get a little bit dirty, even if we do get a little bit mucky, that we have a God that's willing to cleanse us. And He says, I'm going to clean you. I'm going to sprinkle the waters of my love and the waters of my presence over your life. And I'm going to clean you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to make you clean. Oh, thank God that we have a God that makes us clean. He makes us clean. And so if you're in any way feeling unclean, you have a God who will make you clean. And so the first part is, He gathers us to Himself. The second part is, once He's gathered us to Himself, He cleans us and makes us lovely and nice and clean. And then the third part of the work of God is, He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. I love that. Now, last week, if you were here, you probably would have heard me speak on The Wizard of Oz. Do you remember that? And in The Wizard of Oz, there was different characters, the lion and the scarecrow, but there was the Tin Man. And this scripture always reminds me of the Tin Man, because he wanted a new heart. And this is something that God says He gives us when we come to Him, when He draws us to Himself. He takes the kind of stony heart, and He gives us a new heart. And I thought, that's lovely, because if you had a new heart, you'd have new desires, and you'd have new passions, and you'd have new love. It'd all be new. Isn't that amazing? That God gives you a new heart. And so and this happens in the lives of people, is that when they come to God for the first time, and He gathers them, He cleans them, He gives them a new heart, they begin to desire things that they never desired before, things of God. And they begin to have a passion for things that they didn't have a passion before. And it's all because they have a new heart. It's because God has put a new heart in their lives. And this is a wonderful thing of God. This is something that only He can do. You know you can't get a new heart on eBay. You know that, don't you? You can't get it on Amazon or Adverts or Done Deal. You can't get a new heart. If you type in, I want a new heart, you won't find one. God is the only one that can give you a new heart. And it's a good thing to have and to receive. Ah, the tin man, when he got his new heart, he was happy. And so was I when I got my new heart of God. Were you happy when you got your new heart? It's good because the new heart begins to want and desire and love the things that God desires. It's almost like He gives you a piece of His own heart, isn't it? Is that? And years ago, before I was a Christian, I never did any public speaking whatsoever. And it's only when I became a Christian that I began to kind of thought, oh, I think I like to do that. And so this is what happens. I never woke up one morning and thought to myself, I want to be a preacher. That never happened to me. It's only ever since I became a Christian and began to follow God. And something similar might happen to you is that when you bring yourself to God or He gathers you to Himself, He cleans you, He gives you a new heart, you may find yourself desiring something of God that you didn't desire before. And it's all because God has given you a new heart. And so here we go. The work of God is He gathers us, He cleanses us, He gives us a new heart, and the last piece of work that God does is, and I will put my spirit in you. You know it says my spirit, not somebody else's spirit. He puts His spirit in you. Amen. Isn't that a lovely? Is that, I remember years ago I was in a church and there was a preacher, and he said these things and always stuck with me. He says, you know that God knows exactly how you feel. And I thought, does He really? And the preacher began to explain. He began to say that because God places His spirit in you, because your feelings are internal in your heart, in your mind, within your body, because God's spirit is in you, He can see everything that's going on inside you. And so He knows how you feel. And so there are times when you begin to think to yourself, God, do you know what's going on in my life? Do you know how I feel? And God says, yes, because my spirit is in you. And because my spirit is in you, I can see everything that's going on within you and within your life and within your mind, within your body, within your heart. I was on my holidays during the week, and we were down in Cork, and we went to Cork City Jail, which is like it's a jail, it's a prison. And we had this guy, and he was giving us a tour. And part of the tour was he brought us into where the governor would receive all the new offenders and new prisoners. And what the governor would do is he would record their name, their age, their weight, and all the details. And then what he would do is the governor had an official stamp that he would stamp the documentation. And so they were able to tell us that all the records they have, they knew which ones were authentic, because the ones that were authentic were the ones that had the seal of the governor or the seal of the prison upon them. And that reminds me of God's spirit on our lives. Is that when God gathers you to Himself, He cleanses you, He gives you a new heart, and then He seals you with His spirit. The Holy Spirit on your life, in your life, is the seal of the King, the seal of God upon your life. And as I think about this work, I think it's a great work. This is a big work of God. It really is that He will gather you to Himself. And once He gathers you, He'll cleanse you. He'll make you clean. And then once He makes you clean, He's got a gift for you. He'll give you a new heart. And then you'll begin to feel the goodness of that new heart. And then once you have received a new heart, then He's got another gift for you. He'll put His spirit in you. And that's His seal upon your life. Is that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you'll always have the seal of God's Spirit on your life, in your life. And I think this is a big work. This is a work that God does in the past. This is a work that God does today. And this is a work that God will do tomorrow. And so, Maybe you'd like him to do some of that work in your life today. Maybe it is the case that you would say, Lord, I need you just to draw me to yourself. Please draw me. Gather me to yourself. I want to be where you are. I want to find myself in your presence. Gather me, Lord. Do this work. Take hold of me and bring me to yourself. And once he does that, he's going to clean you. And maybe this morning, you know the battle of staying clean. You know the reality of that battle, of what it is to try and stay clean in this world. But if in any way you feel unclean or you need forgiveness, then God is here to sprinkle the waters of his Spirit and the waters of his love. And he will apply the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the blood of Christ still cleanses today. And so maybe it is today that you need cleansing, you need forgiveness. And then once he's cleansed you, he says, I want to give you something. And maybe your heart has gone a little bit hard. And you want your heart to be responsive to the response, to respond to the things of God. And so if your heart has gone hard in any way, if you find yourself being hard on family members or hard on the system or hard in towards your perspective on different aspects of life, God says here, look, let me take that hardness from you and give you a new heart, that you may be able to walk with God and desire the things of God. And once he's done that, he wants to seal you with his Spirit. And maybe you need that this morning. Maybe you need God just to come to you and just to reaffirm his seal upon your life. Maybe you've forgotten how much he loves you. And you just need for God to come and do this work in your heart and on your life and say, Lord, I just need to know that your seal of approval and your seal of acceptance is on my life again. And so, will you respond to the Lord? Will you allow him to just take hold of you and bring him to yourself? And during this moment, as we have some instrumental music playing, if you need forgiveness or if you need a cleansing of any kind, all you've got to do is say, Lord, please cleanse me. Please forgive me. Please restore me. And what he will do is he'll pour over the waters of his presence, and he will apply the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to your life so that you feel the cleanliness and the purity of having been forgiven. And if you've got a hard heart, just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to have a new heart. I want the stoniness or the hardness to go so that I'm hearing your voice again and I'm knowing the sweetness of your presence. And so, Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here that needs just that reassurance of the seal of your Holy Spirit upon their lives, will you do that now by faith? Will you cause your people to know that you seal them? You mark them. There is a mark. The mark of God is on your people's lives. But cause them to know it in a very real and a very special way. Just allow God to minister to your life. And receive by faith the things that you need for today. Because these things are big things. The gathering is a big thing. The cleansing is a big thing. The new heart, it's a big thing. And the Spirit of God sealing upon somebody's life, that's something big. And if you need these big things today, just make yourself available to the Lord. And He says, I want to do something big in your life. And this is it. This is the big work of God that happens each day and every day.